Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today. We know the holidays can be absolutely brutal to those of us who've lost a child, especially those first few years. And honestly, even now, 13 years later, I never know how this time of year is going to affect me, much less the actual day of the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I have asked two bereavers who have been on this journey for many years to join me in talking about how to navigate the holidays. And we're going to hear from them one at a time. The first one is Kim Peacock, and then you will hear from Sarah Nelson. So let's get started. Well, hi, Kim. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to be with you again.
Thanks. Yeah, first time we talked, there just seemed to be a connection. So when I wanted to talk about this topic of holidays and kids, you were someone that I thought of. Now, before we get started on the topic, though, for those who may not know your story, who haven't heard you on here before, you lost your daughter, Nicole, in an ATV accident, right? While you were on vacation?
Yes.
Okay. So
just
what happened?
We were on a family vacation just 3 days after Christmas, which also complicates the holidays. And she got disoriented, we believe, and she went off a high dune. And while most of us were there and witnessed the accident, and she landed on her head. By the time my husband got to her and pulled off her helmet, she was not responsive. So it was, we always talk about, as bereavers, as you call them, mm-hmm. we talk about the before and after. And yeah. that was the chasm that split our lives for sure.
Yeah. Now, how long ago was that? What was the date on that? You said three days after Christmas.
Mm-hmm, it was in 1998. So it's been some time. So in a lot of ways, that's good because it brings clarity. Time often brings clarity to grief. But grief is still there. It just changes. It may be not so sharp, but as believers, we learn more of that balance of the hope. You always talk about hope, and that's one reason I love your podcast, because that's why grieving with the Lord is different, because yes. we can grieve with hope.
Right. But we have to choose that, don't we? We have to, even though as believers, we still have to choose to grieve with hope and not mm-hmm. choose to stay in that dark place as a victim.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I kind of think about like chasing hope, like chasing it down. If you don't pursue it, you'll stay in the dark, and it's really hard. It's a hard choice to make that transition and decide to go with hope.
Yeah. And you have to choose it over and over again. It's not like a one-time thing either. Just like a mm-hmm. lot of this journey is. Now, Nicole, she was the oldest of six children. Am I right?
Yes. Well, at the time we only had four. Later, after Nicole went to heaven, we ended up adopting two more boys, but she was our oldest.
Okay. So the two boys, they didn't know their big sister then.
No, it's funny to hear them talk about her, because we include her in our conversation. So they talk as if they knew mm-hmm. her. The youngest of the two was born the February after she went to heaven. Mm. We didn't meet him until 4 years later, but I always thought that was special that he was born shortly after she went to heaven.
Yeah. So you pretty much had a full year between the accident and the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So what was that first end of the year holiday season like you? Now, like you said, you had that added layer of this was the time of year. So what was that like for you as that first year was coming up? Because, I mean, we all dread that anyway. The anniversary coming up to it is so hard anyway, much less adding the holidays on top of that.
Yeah, I even still, as the days get shorter, I start feeling that in my soul, that anticipation of the holidays. And I can, And I think a lot of us too feel that same way. As the days get shorter, it intensifies how we're already feeling. But that anticipation of what was coming, especially Thanksgiving was subdued, but as Christmas came, the thought of even putting up Christmas decorations it was just absurd. Like that we all knew we couldn't do that. But I also had the kids, Nicole's siblings to think about, and I needed to make sure that I didn't get lost in my own grief, that I remembered for them it was a they were hurting too, and they also anticipated that. And so we had this blessed family in our ch church that they allowed us to stay. They offered their cabin, and when I say cabin, I say that very loosely. It was like 8,000 square foot in the mountains near us. So not only did my husband and I and our kids, my parents, my husband's parents, my sister, his siblings, we all, whoever lived in town, we were all able to go. And didn't take any, we took food up there, but we didn't take any decorations. And I see how the Lord just protected us through that. We were able to go up a few days before Christmas. The guys went out and got the most gigantic Christmas tree. I couldn't, I mean, we would have never had it in our house, but it was like laying behind, I think it was behind a store. You know, they had discarded it, and we just decorated with whatever we had, and it was beautiful, and it was precious because we were able to think about Nicole and honor Nicole, but be in a different setting and celebrate Christmas with the kids. And it was so, I don't know how we would have handled future Christmases if we had not had that reprieve. And I think that's really important to make sure that we give ourselves grace around the holidays. No matter how long you've been grieving, especially the first few years, it's okay to do something different, to not do anything at all, to protect your heart during that time.
Have you found in talking to other bereavers that your situation was a little bit different because it was so close to Christmas? I think of, like someone it happened in maybe July or something, and they have younger kids to think about. Christmas comes around. As you've gone through the years, has it been something where some of your kids were ready to like more celebrate the holidays and some weren't? I mean, how did you navigate through that?
That's a great question, because all the kids are different. And then several years later, 4 years after she went to heaven, we adopted the two boys, the siblings. And so they were already from a, you know, being adopted, they were already from a traumatized background. So it was important that we honor Christmas and show them what a healthy Christmas is. And it was a hard balance for me, because I had to make sure I wasn't making the whole holiday about Nicole, because it was so close to Christmas. But also, anytime we lose someone, and there's you want to think about the one that's missing, the one that's not sitting at the table, and the one you know when you pull out those decorations that you're reminded of. But it was important, and I learned I didn't do it great the first couple of years. I mean, it was just hard. But over time, I learned I have to make this more about, well, why are we celebrating Christmas? You know, celebrating, that's when we celebrate Jesus' birth, but also allowing the kids to just be kids. And sometimes it took on a different look. Sometimes I always at the beginning of the season would ask them, okay, what's an important tradition that you would like for us to do? What is important for you this year? And they each had, some of them were funny traditions. Our son Alex, we had one of those Christmas villages. He wanted the Christmas village up. That was super important to him. Some of them wanted to go look at Christmas lights, some of them making gingerbread houses. So I think that it's important to recognize, and I had to learn this, but to recognize that each of the kids, they're created individually, and I needed to help them celebrate Christmas, remember Nicole, but also just celebrate Christmas in a way that was good for their souls.
I love that. Asking each one of them what's important to you, what part of Christmas do you want to make sure we hang on to, that we do, that we, because yeah, I don't know if we would really think about that because we're so thinking about ourselves and our own loss and our own, yeah, to specifically each child. That's really honoring them too. And it's a way of really pulling them in. I don't know if you've heard me talk about when my other daughter, Kim, at one point, and then I heard this was common, but I felt horrible. She came to me one day and told me that she thought that I believed the wrong daughter died, because of my grief. And that was devastating to me because it wouldn't have mattered which of my children, I would have been an absolute mess. And so I think this might be a good time to remind those who are listening and you have other children, you know, like you were talking about, making sure that you don't make the holiday about your child who's gone, but that we remember we have other children here who need to know that they're loved and they're wanted and that they have not been forgotten because our mind is always set on the one who isn't here. Because we don't want to give our kids that message.
That's a great point because it is, we're consumed. It hurts. It's that's all we're thinking about, especially in the early years. But and we do need to be careful to allow our hearts to grieve. But our children, our other children, if we have other children, it's not their place to be the comforters for that. We all take comfort in each other, but as a parent, our job is to help them, to teach them, to walk in front of them and through the on the windy road of grief because and we all grieve differently and they will all grieve differently. And that was another thing that I had to recognize that they weren't all feeling the same way I was feeling. They were hurting in different ways and they coped in different ways. And so it's an important thing to recognize. And then we go, we can seek counseling, we have friends, we go to, you know, other people that we can trust, that we can trust our heart to, and that's where we can process that grief.
So how long did it take you? Have you found that Thanksgiving has been hard for you at times without Nicole there?
Yes, it has been hard. It gets easier. And as all of our children are out of the house now, and in some ways, every time, and I know this seems strange to say, but I think you'll understand, as the kids left, I would also kind of grieve Nicole again. And it was, and I had to really work on not like if some went with their, if they were married, if they went with their spouse's family. I had to be really careful to not hold on to them too tight. And that was because I wanted everybody with us because I felt, don't you understand? This is hard for me. And
There's already
I
one
know
chair that's empty.
I don't, you need to be here. And so I had to really be careful about that. And I learned one of our daughter Megan, she was very gracious. And she helped me as she was the youngest of the three girls, but she was really good with kindly talking to me through that. Like when she got married, because she was the first one to get married after Nicole went to heaven. And so it was kind of a tearing. And it we she did everything was on good terms, but she was really good to explain, and she is such a great communicator, and that helped me to go, okay, I need to really be careful. So she laid down the road for the rest of the kids as they left. And now I try whoever can make it, especially at Thanksgiving, I try to be really careful to just be thankful for whoever can be here and understand and not focus on the ones that are not here.
I know for us, the kids growing up, I got to a point where because I never wanted to be the in-law that insisted everybody had to be at my house because I never wanted to put my kids in that kind of a situation. And so I kind of laid down the thought that I would love for every third year for everybody to come. because that leaves 1 year for the in-laws, 1 year for yourselves, or whatever you want to do. But if every third year everybody could plan to be here and we could all be together as a family, well, then we took off in the Hopemobile. And everybody
Yeah.
lets me know, you're the one that blew
Hey, you made the
that,
rule. But that is so wise, and that's good. We did something similar. We said, okay, I didn't want to have to worry about navigating other people's schedules. So we, for years, celebrated Thanksgiving on Friday
Mom. Okay.
because we thought, well, no matter what, they can go. But it, we do have to also, like, your life has changed drastically.
Yes.
So you had to, everything changes, and we have to be flexible as our lives change, and not the traditions that we're steadfastly hanging on to in the early years. Maybe those don't fit later, and that's okay to be able to go with that.
So, did you ever, have you ever felt like anything has become normal at Christmas time? Was there a time where you felt like Christmas is kind of normal again, or has it just always been that, I don't know, we just talked about the before and after.
It really did become normal. It was totally different, but what I would say, it was normal. However, earlier this year we had a fire in our workshop, and it burnt all of our Christmas
Oh
decorations.
no.
And so I have this year, I have a that anticipation is back a little bit because there were, like, Nicole's stocking was in there.
Yeah.
The ornaments that some people had given me every year after she went to heaven. So I do have, it's going to be an interesting year to go, okay, Lord, what should I do, and not to get caught up again on what was lost
Yeah.
and focus on, the memories, because we still, every single memory we have with each of the kids, they're still there, and nobody can take away those beautiful memories. So I have to remember as I go through the next, that
Yeah.
anticipation. So as far as being normal, we've kind of settled in to a new our new traditions. We're trying one thing I think that it's really important, as all of us that grieve, is to keep the holidays simple.
Yes.
Sometimes we are determined to make it the best Christmas ever, or we're going, but I think it's really important. The more time, the more ma margin, that's what's most kind to our hearts, because our hearts really can only take so much,
Yeah.
even all these years down the road. So to be able to give ourselves time, and give the kids time, if you still have kids at home, kind of just have some d downtime scheduled, some, movies and hot chocolate, and keep things very simple.
Yeah, and even something simple that would be a new tradition, not one that makes you feel like we're doing this without my child, but something that just makes you feel like there's hope to go on, that we can
Sure.
still continue something, a part of this, and be together as a family and have some fun times and make new memories, even though it's painful that we're making these memories without that one child with us. I want to back up to something you said that I think is really, really important, and that is asking the Lord, Lord, what do you know I need this year? What do you know my family needs this year? What do we need this year? What's going to bring us peace? What's going to bring us comfort? What's going to even bring us moments of joy within this Christmas season? I think that is so important because the Lord knows our pain. He knows the heartache, and He also knows what's going to bring some healing to that or bring some peace within the pain. And so to ask Him and then follow those little nudges, even if they don't make sense. I mean, you talked about this 8,000 square foot cabin, and I could just hear people's wheels. It's like there's no way I can get something like that. It must be nice, but that doesn't
No.
mean that that's not what God has for you. I mean, who knows?
Right. Right. And it's more of that, and we weren't even seeking that out, but you said what you said a minute ago, he knows what we need. And so he knew that we needed to kind of sequester all the family together. He knew that was an important thing because when during her accident, most of those people weren't with us. So most of the people had in our family had seen the accident. And with the workshop, the Lord did not, nothing burnt in that workshop that I needed. I did not need any of that. And it's still hard, and I'm still sad about it because, we all want to have a tangible thing of our child. But I also know that he has, when he always just fills our cup to overflowing if we just give him whatever, give him the pain, give him, and that's any stage of our grief, to be able to give him that and open our hands. And then he takes those broken pieces and he fills us up and he guides us through and he walks us through every single step. And then there's healing on the other side of that.
Now, as much as we may want to, first of all, I had another question for you. How long did you guys stay at that cabin? I mean, did you stay through, that whole accident period and like the 1 year mark?
I believe we left the day after the 1 year mark. So I think we went up Christmas Eve and we came back on the 29th.
Just something I was curious about. So, Christmas, as much as we would like to just like avoid it, pull the covers up, pretend like it didn't, we can just come through the other side without having to deal with it. But it's something we can't avoid. And the reminders of it are everywhere. I mean, they're already everywhere. So what are some things, can you think of some things that you have done when something triggers you, like going into a store, a song on the radio? How do you handle those triggers?
That's a great question. I think one of the things is to always give myself space. Like, I know this time of year is going to be, I'm going to be a little raw. So, to make sure I always try to give myself an out. If I know that I'm going to go into Hobby Lobby, for instance, it's overload for my brain. So I will really try not to even go in. Not that I won't eventually go into the Christmas decorations, but if my heart is extra fragile, I just don't go. I try not to make myself go in there. I try to always give myself an out of that kind of stuff. And I don't think that that's being cowardice. I think that's being safe
Or
with my
overly
heart.
sensitive.
No, I really don't. I think a lot of the culture will say, oh, well, it's been 20 years. Aren't you over that? But I think that we need to really be careful with our hearts. In Proverbs, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Well, I think that the Lord, and if we're walking with the Lord, we're going, okay, Lord, help me, protect me. We have our armor on, all of that stuff. Then he will guide us into those things. So I give myself an out. I also create margin. If I feel like listening to a Christmas song, I do. And sometimes I might just cry all the way through it. And that's, and yeah. And that, you know what? That's okay because we need to allow ourselves to feel that. That's how we've been created. And those kind of things, it's mostly to give ourselves margin and space and keep it very simple. Also, I believe it's important to keep my expectations very, not that you have low expectations, but kind of keep them neutral. Like I believe there's going to be wonder and beauty. Look for that, but don't have it planned out to the T. It's going to be this and this and this and this, because it's the holidays. We're dealing with other people and other personalities. So I think that it's important to keep our expectations to, like, okay, Lord, what is it? Like, be full of wonder, if that makes sense.
That was the word I was thinking of, is just, almost like allowing God to just all of a sudden surprise you with a little gift.
And
just
don't you think I have seen that in my life so many times, like the butterflies will pop up And I feel like he's sending me little somebody, I've heard it said it's called kisses from heaven. It's
Yes.
just like him.
Yep.
I don't think Nicole is the butterfly,
Right,
but
right.
he is showing me. And like, you know, you've talked about that with different things. And I think that that's important to go, okay, what is it, Lord? And be full of wonder and have my eyes open to watch for it.
Yeah, whatever it might be. Well, I want to make sure that people know about your book, Victorious Heart. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Victoria, I wrote Victoria's Heart as a guidebook to help people through grief. And I am not an expert, but the book is about things that helped us, and it's written very practically, things that helped us and things that didn't help us. And at the end of each chapter, there's like some cliff notes about, okay, summing up how to grieve, some things you might do in these situations. And then also there's a section called Loving Them Well. That's for the people who might be walking us alongside a griever. And then I also last year was had the blessing of being able to record it on audio, so it's available on Audible now, which was really a blessing, and I feel honored that I was able to do that.
Yeah, that is
So
awesome.
it's on, we feel really blessed about that. It's on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Most of the time you have to order it if it's anywhere besides Amazon, but
Right.
it's on there.
Okay. And so anyone who wants to connect with you further can find you. I believe it's www.wildvictoriousheart.com, right? Okay. And I will put a link to that in the show notes. Do you have any last thoughts to share?
I would say as the holidays approach, just to be careful with your hearts and know that it's not always, especially in the early years, it's not always going to be this raw or this, you won't feel this fragile always. You'll start seeing beauty come in and be able to remember more with smiles. So it's important to give yourself, give your family that opportunity to just walk through it how each one of us needs to grieve individually.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Well, this was much shorter than our last time, but that's okay. So I just want to thank you again for joining me, and it was good seeing you. We get to see each other here. They just get to listen to us, but so yeah, it was good
Yeah,
to reconnect.
it was great to see you.
All right. Well, thank you, Kim, so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Laura. And it was so fun seeing your face.
Yes. All right. Well, have a wonderful holiday season. So that was my chat with Kim. Now, if you heard my chair creaking a bit through some of that, it was because I suddenly found myself fighting a leg cramp and I kept adjusting myself to try and make it go away. Sorry about that. So now let's listen to my talk with Sarah. Well, hi, Sarah. It is good to have you back on with me again.
It wasn't that much long ago when I was on here.
Yeah, yeah,
Good for
yeah. You're
having me
actually
again.
here in Wisconsin.
Well, that too.
That too, yeah. So I've had you on a couple times in the last few months or so. And you showed me you are wearing one of those Hold On Pain Eases t-shirts. And you have like a, is that like a navy blue? It's a real, almost, is it
It's
like a
royal
royal
blue.
blue? Yeah, I like that color. It's really pretty. So. All right. Well, before we dig into our topic, I just want to, if you are new to our listeners, anyone, letting people know that you lost your daughter Jeanette, who was your only child, to like a massive heart attack, right? Yeah, not knowing she had any kind of heart issues at all. Now, she was an adult, but she had recently moved back in with you and your husband Dennis. So, what was the date that Jeanette left this earth? Remind me again.
It was February 9th, 2014.
Okay. So, we are going to talk about the holidays. So, let's start with Thanksgiving, which is coming up next week when this is released. Was that difficult for you to get through the first year? Do you even remember the first year?
Yes, I do. I started thinking about the holidays in the summer, like June and July. I was already looking ahead to what are we going to do for the holidays? And so by August, I started to come up with a plan. And what we did, and I know not everyone can be away from home, but we decided to take a short trip and not be home for Thanksgiving. And that was our first one. And that worked out very well. We still missed her. It's not like it took that away from us, but it made it easier not being at home.
Was it hard coming back home?
In the first couple of years, it was hard. Anytime we'd take a trip, it was hard coming home because if Jeanette was here, I'd be telling her all about it. I'd be showing her all the pictures. And it was really hard to come home and she's not there to share it with. So, yeah.
And that's something that I forget to warn parents about. When you go away, the first few times, especially you come back home, there's such a void, there's such an emptiness, and that's most parents go through that. It's like, well, should we have ever gone and done taken this trip? I mean, you feel guilty enough you're going without your child a lot of times. And then when you come home, you just start questioning, should we have even left? It's even worse now. Those kinds of thoughts.
I didn't think it was worse. I was still glad we went. But there is that kind of a letdown. She's not here to tell about the trip.
So was the next year better? I mean, is it an up and down thing for you? How is
It
that
is.
going?
You know what? I don't really remember that much about the second
Oh, that's funny.
Thanksgiving. I remember the first one because it was something we did that we hadn't done before. The second one kind of runs together. We did stay home a few times. We went to my husband's sister. She lives in San Diego. That's a few hours away. We did that sometimes. So we've done various things.
Do you feel like you and Dennis have come back to what you would consider a traditional Thanksgiving? Or is that something that at this point on you feel like it's just going to be, we're just going to take it year to year?
Yeah, we just do it year to year. Kind of what are we in the mood for this year?
So, what are you doing this year?
Well, a friend has invited us over. I'll talk about this for a minute too, because when we go over to a friend's house, I know we're always welcome there, but it's large. They're children and grandchildren. It's a lot of people. And although we know them all and we're good friends, it's their family. It's not our family. And sometimes that makes me feel even worse because I'm looking at them having a wonderful family holiday and we're kind of the fifth wheels.
And it reminds you of what you don't have.
Exactly. So if we're still kind of making up our minds about some things, we'll go there if nothing else comes up. And that sounds kind of mean on my friends. I don't mean to put them down.
No. Yeah. Now, have you just ever just gone out to dinner somewhere? Just had
Yes,
a
we've done
Thanksgiving
that.
dinner at a
There's a couple
restaurant?
of restaurants. That's right. I'd forgotten about that. There's a couple of restaurants that are open on Thanksgiving and they're reservation only.
Oh, okay.
So you need to make reservations ahead of time.
No
So if we
Cracker
were going to
Barrel
do
by
that,
you?
we'd well, Denny's, but they still want you, so they're not crowded
Oh,
all
so
at
they
once.
can
They
space
still
it
want you to
out.
call ahead and schedule a time. The other restaurant that's open, you have to schedule like a couple weeks ahead of time because they're small.
So that's something to think about. If someone wants to go
Yes.
out
Yeah,
on Thanksgiving and not be home, check it
I
out.
do enjoy those meals out because then I don't have to cook it. We
You don't
can
have to
feed with
clean it
other
up.
people. The family thing isn't in our face as much. A lot of the people there are people like us who don't have family. So that's not a bad idea.
Well, let's talk about the really big one, Christmas. So, what was that first year like for you?
It was hard. The first 2 years, I'll tell you about this. I was, and I still am to a certain degree, determined to do traditions. I like traditions. And so I put the tree up, artificial tree. I put the tree up, but I couldn't decorate it. I just look at, because the decorations I have, they're sentimental. They're things I put up every year. Some of them are handmade by Jeanette. And I just couldn't make myself decorate the tree. And so I called some friends and they came over and we kind of made a party of it. We had hot chocolate and cookies, and they did it all. They put all of the ornaments up, decorated it for me.
Nice.
And I'm a nitpicky person as far as ornament placement, and I didn't even care where they put them. I did not care as long as I don't have to do it. And that's what we did the first two Christmases, and that helped a lot.
Was it still hard to look at the ornaments, or was it
Yes.
mostly just putting them up?
It was mostly just putting it up, but I got a lump in my throat, all of that, just looking at them. Yeah.
Now, do you still struggle with Christmas at times with Jeanette gone?
Yes, because I'll say this to begin with. I know that there are empty nesters. There are older couples our age and older who their kids have left home and they don't have family, and it's just the two of them. And I know that there are empty nesters in this place where what do we do for Christmas? But this is different. It's not like we can make phone call or FaceTime. And so there's an emptiness there that it's just there. And I have come to accept that it's just going to be that way. There is no replacing her
You're
at
right.
Christmas time. And it's just something I have to get through.
Yeah.
I've learned that I just have to get through it. And
Okay.
I'm not, now, this is going to be our 11th Christmas without Jeanette. So I have, I'm a ways down the road. So I don't necessarily get all weepy and teary-eyed. It's just the heaviness in my heart.
So Christmas, it's a holiday that we can't avoid because the reminders are
Right.
everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. So, what are some of the things that you've done when something triggers you? You're out and about, you're not thinking Christmas, but all of a sudden it's everywhere. I mean, like right now, it's everywhere already.
Yes. I don't know really how to explain this. I train my mind to tune it out. I don't know any way to explain that. It's just something that, like, I'm at the store and there's Christmas music playing, and I have left the store.
Yes.
I have just walked out,
I think
said,
one of
I
the
can't deal
worst
with this.
songs to ever hear is I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Oh, yes,
Oh, I
absolutely.
that song
Oh,
just,
yes.
oh, I can't get it off fast enough.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll just leave the store, and sometimes I will just tune it out. I just am going to, I make myself not hear it.
You know, it's interesting because when you say that, there's what's called the RAS filter, the
Yes.
reticular. It's, if people haven't heard of it before, it's what your subconscious tunes in on. For example, if you're pregnant and then all of a sudden everybody around you is pregnant. Well, everybody around you was pregnant before. It's just, it wasn't in your subconscious. Or like when we were going to get a Mini Cooper, it's like those cars. They're a fun car. Not everybody has them. You know, they're not around much. But when I got my Mini Cooper, it's like, oh, there's a Mini. Oh, look, Mini. And so it's just when our minds are thinking about something, our subconscious has the thought that we want to be aware of those things. And so it brings it more, it's like our senses find it. It's like we're looking for it without even realizing we're looking for it. And so when you said that, you just kind of tune it out. It kind of makes me think of that and about the possibility of kind of even retraining that in the sense of the opposite. You know, when I see those things that trigger me and I don't want to go to the store because I'm going to see these things, to okay, well, what else can I focus on instead? What
Yes,
else can
that's
I be looking
exactly it.
for instead? And when I see, you know, the whole row of Christmas trees. It's like, okay, turn my cart the other way, and what can I look at instead, or what can I think about instead? Because I can stand there and fall apart while I stare at those Christmas trees and have to leave the store, or I can turn away. And yes, like you said, the heaviness might still be there, but I won't say I don't have to give in to that, because when we're at the beginning of this, it's just on us. It's just on us. And so if you're not to the point where you can do this, you know, there's no guilt, there's no judgment here. But it's just, if you can, even before you leave the house, think about things that you can put in your mind instead when you feel those triggers or see those things or hear those songs. And if you have to leave, leave.
I'll tell you a story that did happen to me. So we went to the store, and I was already not in a good, mood. I was already kind of broken. And we had, I don't remember now, I think we'd gone out to eat or something. And apparently, on the car seat, there was a napkin on my car seat. And when I got out of the car, the napkin stuck to my
You're
Bum,
behind.
I'll just say. And I didn't know it. So I went in the store, and there are these two, like, I don't know, they were probably 10, 11-year-old boys, and they started laughing at me. And I just went to pieces. I mean, I just totally lost it. And I literally ran out of the store. Now I know that's not a Christmas necessarily story, but it's a time for me when I was just broken and I just had to leave the store. And I went in the car and just broke down crying because these kids were laughing at me. I didn't know, wasn't able to handle it emotionally. And so there are times when you just
You can't do it.
you leave the store, you go ahead and cry and kind of get in an aisle where nobody's going to see you. If there's people around that notice, then just excuse yourself. You don't have to tell them what's going on. Just say, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard day. It happens.
Now, it's interesting because you had put on Facebook that you were not in the mood to put up a tree, and you usually put it up like the beginning of November. So where are you with this now?
It's funny. It's only the last couple of years that I started putting decorations up extra early, because for me, I like the lights. I like the bright colors. It cheers me up to have those things in the atmosphere. But this year, I think it's because of, and I think I can say this and people will relate. This has been a really hard election season. And it's drained all of us. And I just don't feel like I have the emotional bandwidth this year to deal with decorations and the effort that it takes and doing all of that with everything that's going on in our country right now. And so there can be circumstances not even related to the holidays that just kind of eat up our energy and just
Well,
we
because
don't
and we don't
we can't deal with it.
even with you and I being this many years into it, there are still times we just don't have the bandwidth to deal with something because of our loss. I mean, I have found, and even talking to parents who've been on this journey way longer than I have, that that's just life now for us, is that there are going to be times we just don't have the bandwidth to deal with life, to deal with extra. So, And that's not to discourage anyone, because, Sarah and I are both to the point where life is definitely worth living again. There's fun, there's laughter, there's joy, even, with that undercurrent that can just resurface of grief at any time. But I think you and I can both say that there's actually more good things in our life now that keep us lifted up than there is the grief that keeps holding us under.
And that's why I always want to emphasize I'm down the road a ways. I'm not back there in the beginning. And in the beginning, oh yes, it was excruciating. The month of November, the month of December. For me, her birthday's in January. Her anniversary of her heaven going is in February. It felt
Yes.
to me like 4 long months of just never ending
Yeah.
pain. And it's not that bad anymore, but I remember it was
Yeah.
really rough.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. All right. Well, this has been a short interview for you and I. But before I let you go, I want to make sure the listeners know about your book, Footprints of Hope, right?
Yes.
Okay, so can you tell us about
Footsteps of Hope.
footsteps? I'm sorry,
Yeah.
footsteps of hope. So I wrote down footprints. That's what in front of me. So I wrote it down wrong. So can you tell us about it?
Footsteps of Hope is my journey through grief. I was writing in a journal, especially in the early days, the emotions I was dealing with. And I don't know if I do that great of a job on these interviews, but if you get that book, you will see what my journey really was like, along with my telling about my journey. I also tell about what things gave me hope. And that's why it's called Footsteps of Hope. It's the things that helped me get through it. And it's kind of a devotional. They're just short readings. You can read one a day or one every few days. And it will help bring some hope to your life, the hope that I found as I was going through it.
And I was blessed to be able to write the foreword to it, and it's got a lot of good nuggets in it. It really does.
Thank
So
you.
if you want to look it up, you can find it. They can find it on Amazon, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any last thoughts to share?
I just once again emphasizing that you can get through this. It's not easy. Every year is different from year to year. We just kind of figure out one year to the next what we're going to do with the holiday season, and it can be painful, but the days pass, and one day at a time, you just get through it, and then the season's over, and you can breathe a big sigh of relief.
Let me just say that I am very sorry you even had a reason to listen to this podcast episode. But I hope and pray that both of these bereavers helped to encourage you and gave you some ideas on how to navigate through these upcoming holidays. Since I was talking to Sarah about getting through the holidays, I thought I would ask for her thoughts about something God gave me several years ago to pass on to other bereavers to help us all navigate through the Christmas season. Well, Sarah, you have been with me almost since the very beginning of GPS Hope, and you have participated in the weekly live Advent readings since I started them. In fact, you even did one for me a couple of years ago when I couldn't go live. So, why do you still join me during the live Advent season, even though it's been all these years since Jeanette's passing?
Yeah, well, for one thing, I didn't grow up with an Advent wreath tradition, but we started doing that when Jeanette was a child. I liked the tradition when I saw other people doing it, lighting the Advent candles. And so it's something that reminded me of Jeanette, lighting those candles. And so it helped me keep that tradition of Advent wreath alive, because otherwise I wouldn't do
Right.
anymore. So I like that personally for me. And it's just something, we have winter days, there's shorter days, it gets dark earlier, and there's just something about the candles and the candlelight that adds some warmth to the season.
So you have the book that these come from, Hope for the Future, which is a daily reading for bereaved parents through the Advent season, which is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. So what can you say about that book?
The book is really good because it acknowledges your grief, but it also helps you focus your attention away from just how bad you feel to how good it is that we have the Lord in our lives, and that he came to earth for us, and how he can help us through this.
You can find out more about this book, Hope for the Future, An Advent Journey for Bereaved Parents, as well as how to join me live each Sunday night of Advent by going to gpshope.org/adventbook. I will also put a link to that in the show notes. Okay, let's go to this week's birthday segment. Because I'm doing this podcast every other week now, these birthdays are November 17th through November 30th. Laura Ann was born on November 17th and is forever 15. Timothy Kravitz was born on November 17th and is forever 27. Cord Ramsey Davis was born on November 18th and is forever 24. Christian Story was born on November 18th and is forever 11. Benjamin Kravitz, who is Timothy Kravitz's brother, was born on November 21st and is forever 32. Logan Singer was born on November 21st and is forever 17. Jacob Letourneau was born on November 22nd and is forever 21. Melissa Sulikowski Hill was born on November 23rd and is forever 38. Cyrus Amado Salazar Jr. was born on November 26th and is forever 17. Liam Tripp Nugent was born on November 29th and is forever 21. Ray Lynn Tenbruggenkate was born on November 29th and is forever 1 year old. Ginny Reddick was born on November 30th and is forever 21. We celebrate the day each one of these children came into the world and into the lives of these families. We know it will always be a very special and important day to remember. If you would like to have your child's birthday shared with the other listeners, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out that little form there with the needed information. Send it in, and I will announce your child's birthday on the podcast episode that matches the week or two of their birthdays. Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen so that you can hear your child's name. Don't forget to grab a copy of the book, Hope for the Future, An Advent Journey for Bereaved Parents, and to put on your calendar to join me live on December 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. Those are Sunday evenings. Find out more at gpshope.org/adventbook. Now we are going to close this out by going back to Sarah. Sarah, would you please pray over the listeners as we all enter into these last 6 weeks of the year that can be so difficult?
Yes. Lord Jesus, I'm just so thankful that you are with us through these hard times, that you understand us better than anybody, better than Laura, better than me. You understand each of us individually. You know where we are. You know our story, and you know exactly what kinds of things will encourage us, give us strength, give us hope and light. You know what to bring across our paths to help us through this. And in the midst of those times when the pain is so intense and we just don't know if we're going to make it through it, just take our hands and hold us, hold on to us, Lord, and lead us through it until we get to the end of this holiday season and we can breathe that sigh of relief and say, I made it. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I did. Help each one to have that hope. Yes. That they can make it through. It hurts. It really does. But you are there to be our comforter and our strength, and you get us through it. And I pray that as the years pass, you would help people to just learn strategies on their own that helps them individually to cope better and get stronger. Because we do. We exercise our grief muscles, and year by year, we get a little stronger. And I thank you for that, Lord, that we can have that hope that it does get better.
Yes.
Even though it still hurts, it does get better. Thank you so much, Jesus, for coming into our lives and in stepping into our pain and helping us through it. In
Yes.
your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sarah. That was a beautiful prayer. Thank you. As we head into these last few weeks and the holiday season that comes with it, I do want to remind you to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.